o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app, find a location near you. We'll be right back up in St. Joe tomorrow. We were there briefly today. There at 8:30 or so. By about 10:30, we were on our way back with the severe weather. We appreciate the Chiefs for helping us stay safe up there. They said, hey, you guys got to go. And so Drew and Mac covered for us a little bit as we drove back down I-29 and made our way back to the studio. Chris Jones did join us after practice. He called in. If you missed our conversation with him, that'll come back up in about 25 minutes or so, a chance to hear from him. And he was very outspoken about the NFL continuing to ban things, the latest being smelling salts.
Yeah,
he said it's something he uses all the time. It's something a lot of guys use all the time in the league. So that's going to be interesting to see how that continues to be more of a story after Chris Jones now, Baker Mayfield earlier today. Yesterday, George Kittle was talking about it as well. So we'll get back to that. We'll get to Drew's camp questions in a couple minutes as well. But Jordan Addison yesterday gets suspended 3 games for, I guess he pled to a lesser charge. But
wet driving is what they describe it as. It's a misdemeanor DUI, essentially, instead of
right.
the standard one.
And he did have an issue before that one as well. Mm-hmm. He gets 3 games. It's a big blow for a team that has essentially a rookie quarterback, a second-year quarterback making his NFL debut the first couple weeks of the season. The Vikings open up their season against Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. And we know they still have Jefferson and Hockenson and Aaron Jones, but that's a big loss for them. Then you think about Rashee Rice, and I agree with Matt Verderam. I think we've been pretty consistent on this since the day Rashee Rice legal problems were resolved. And that is 4 to 6 games sounds about right, but the NFL also can do whatever the hell they want. And seeing Addison get 3 makes me feel even better about the idea that it should only be within that 4 to 6 range. Like if Addison out of nowhere would have got 4 or 5, we'd be like, oh, yeah. Because again, we don't need to get into like the morality side of what's worse, what's
he
not.
He did the wrong thing. But he should be suspended. Deserves to be.
Jordan Addison should be, and Rashee Rice should be, and will be. Somebody got hurt though in Rashee Rice's circumstance, and I think that will weigh heavily on the NFL's mind.
Look, I'd be hard pressed because I think it's going to be a Chiefs fan instinct to, if he gets 6 games, to be like, whoa. They were both driving dangerously. Jordan Addison was driving just as dangerously as Rashee Rice a year ago, and then was charged with an offense that involved alcohol and operating an automobile. But what I would tell you is, again, the who you hurt does matter in that, and the fact that it is a misdemeanor versus felonies is probably going to matter. Like it or not, Rashee Rice is at some point supposed to spend 30 days in jail. There'll be a headline. We'll talk about it in what's trending. Be like, Rashee Rice getting ready to spend 2 weeks of the 30 days he's got to spend in related to
that
his driving
charges. That feels like one of those things we won't know until it's concluded. Like it'll be one of those. One of those like Rashee Rice actually just wrapped up his 30 day. Like I don't think we're going to get like, oh, he's headed to jail today to start.
I don't think
we're getting. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those like randomly, whether if he chooses to do it this way, I have no idea how he'll do it. If it's this offseason and he just, you know, it'll be like, yeah, Rashee Rice just wrapped up his 30 days, or in 2 years from now, he just finished his 30 days. Like it'll be something like that afterwards. It's like the team's not sending out a PR release about that. Okay. It's going to Jordan Schultz or somebody's going to have some scoop on it down the road.
Yeah. But it's like comping is tough. They don't. I thought Addison was going to get 4 because the previous driving problem and because DUIs are a set. They've decided this. DUIs are worth 4 games in the NFL, but it wasn't a DUI. It was a lesser charge. And so they had to decide, well, is it if you got a good lawyer, it's not 4, or if they don't have quite the same amount of evidence, it's not 4. And that is inevitably what they did decide because he agreed to a lesser charge, one that is below the number of the charge that they have decided is 4 games. They went with 3, which to me means the charges are more severe for Rashee Rice. He is going to get a more severe penalty. The thing is, I can't, even if I think that the numbers are off, let's say he gets 6-7 games, right? And I'm like, man, double what Addison got. I can't come on this show and be like, he doesn't deserve 6 games. No, he did an incredibly reckless thing. He deserves the suspension he gets. There's not like, I don't think he should get suspended a year, but like, 6 games is not hitting him too hard. He did a very dangerous thing. He deserves to be suspended. It's going to stink for the team perspective. Yeah. And because of their schedule, 6 games would be brutal. I'm not saying that they're going to start 0-6 as a result of not having Rashee Rice. They won 15 games last year, and they didn't have Rashee Rice for all but 14 of them?
Yeah. Someone says they're definitely announcing to the world that he's going to jail. When does? I'm not saying TMZ won't have video. I'm saying there
the
is,
team's not
I will bet you
schedule release.
Thousands of dollars that the Kansas City Chiefs are never sending out a press release that says wide receiver Rishi Rice is reporting to jail. I will bet you just about anything you want to bet that that never happens. If you're arguing that TMZ or what's the one out of Dallas that had like the Dallas something, whatever, whatever that the
TMZ
gossip
gets everything, man.
Yeah, they will have something, but the team, no freaking chance. No way. We've all been around this business long enough. That is not how it will ever go down. Not from the team. Somebody, yes, will have it. The team is never sending a press release saying their player went to jail.
No.
Like that today he's reporting to jail. No chance.
Do we think we're getting in the next week now? The fact that Jordan Addison and Rishi Rice's convictions got taken care of in or around, it might have been the exact same day, but it was certainly within like a 72-hour time period of being the same day, even though they are more serious charges and there's more things to consider because of the accident and the civil cases that are related to it, I got to assume inside the next, I mean, it could be today, could be tomorrow, but like inside the next week, I would think we know what Rishi Rice's suspension is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. There's no there's no reason for it to keep dragging out. You and I have always kind of set this weird arbitrary deadline. You know, it's like if you don't, you know, announce it by like August 15th or whatever, which is basically next week, you know, then at that point in time, you're also putting teams in bad spots when you have the information you need now. You had the information already for Jordan Addison and you made the decision yesterday. So, yeah, it could be announced today. It could be announced tomorrow.
Even though we are not at camp, let's get some camp questions from Drew.
Mm-hmm. Camp questions.
Because we notably were at camp. We made the drive up there, so we still get camp questions. We eliminated Elijah Mitchell from Camp Darling Island.
Yep.
He is no more. There are only four names that remain. So camp questions it is as well. What do you got first, Drew?
All right, so the first camp question is something related to the video that Matt Verderin put out about Rashard Smith. We've seen and heard a lot about Rashard Smith throughout camp. Can we expect him to end up being ahead of Elijah Mitchell by the time cuts happen? Just based on what we're seeing with his versatility out as being a wide receiver, can use him in the slot, a variety of different ways. Is that something that we could expect maybe?
I don't know about expect, but it's absolutely in play because I view them very, very similar running backs in their skill set. If they're confident that Rashard Smith can pass protect, then why do I need Elijah Mitchell? Honestly, like that's how I view it. If they're not, then I think Elijah Mitchell will make the football team. I don't need both on the roster if I think Rashard Smith has the protections down. So do I expect him? I don't know about that, but it's definitely in play. Let's see what he does on Saturday night.
It's a weird balance with his receiving stuff because everyone's like, oh, he was a receiver in college. Not a good one. I mean, he had 199 yards, 308 yards, and 263. Yeah, that's why he's not a wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's a running back. So is he a good enough receiver that he's going to make some linebackers look bad? Or is that the jump in the NFL that even linebackers find a way to make the coverage? So, like, I just feel like until I get to see it in, like, a real game, Drew, I just want to, like, wait a little bit. Because I think we've overplayed a little the he was a wide receiver in college thing, kind of like the he played basketball in college thing for tight ends.
Sure.
And it's like, again, he wasn't an effective wide receiver. He had three full years at Miami and then had to transfer and become a running back.
Yeah, I think the thought is just that he clearly got way more wide receiver work and receiving work than any other running back.
Than any other running back.
Sure, right. Yeah. I think that's more about it. I don't think,
because he was a very good running back at SMU.
I mean, heck, we just had Pacheco on the show last week and he spent all offseason working with a wide receiver coach. So there is something just to that.
Yeah. Then he spent 3 years working with wide receiver coaches at a D1 college.
Sure.
Right. It's something in their philosophy that they want to incorporate more, especially with Pacheco not having that background. Number two for you guys. Obviously,
I'm laughing in the top text. Elijah Mitchell was the 30-year-old on the island of 21-year-olds, had no business being there in Camp Darling.
Try not to be ageist for Camp Darling, you know? I've been accused of it here lately, so I got to be careful.
What's funny about that, though, is like Elijah Mitchell feels way older. He's actually only 27, but it feels
he
like
he does feel older than that.
Yeah.
Now, question number two, does the groin issue make you more hesitant in getting Rashi back, or does the fact that he's going to have the suspension not make you worried about it at all whatsoever?
Not worried about the groin injury, which
you'd
again,
expect soft tissue coming off any kind of major injury to flare up, maybe.
Yeah, look, I would rather him be out there at practice, but
of course,
because of the timeline we think he has till he's actually playing the NFL game, I don't think the groin injury is something to be too concerned about right now for Rice. He also was able to walk down the hill. He was getting work in the medical tent before practice got moved inside. Matt Verderam said he was working inside the indoor practice facility as well. I think he'll be back sooner than Hollywood Brown at this point in time, to practice.
And he's allowed to practice until week one of the season?
Until the suspension actually takes effect, okay. Which would be, we presume, week one. Yeah,
yeah. So he should be allowed to practice. Now, game week leading into it, obviously they will not have him on the field a bunch as a part of game
planning.
Like,
he won't be able to go to Brazil.
Right. No. And then question number three. So I saw this on social media. The Chiefs tweeted this out. Mahomes, I guess, post-practice, after the weather cleared up a little bit, he signed a bottle of ketchup. Nice. For a kid.
Hey.
What is the weirdest thing you would want or you would have signed?
Ooh, I would want signed.
That I would want like a Mahomes to sign?
Whoever.
Just any player.
Sure, sure. What's the weirdest thing you'd want Patrick Mahomes to sign?
Boy, that's tough.
A ketchup bottle, I think,
is interesting. Very good.
That's strong.
That's very good.
And yeah, you can see it on the Chiefs Twitter.
Hmm.
God, that is a good... I'm trying to think now. Because I do like... I don't collect a lot of sports memorabilia, Drew.
It's almost funny if you give him something random, like a ketchup bottle, card or whatever.
I like the oddity of sporting events or sports memorabilia. I've said on the show before, now it turns out he sucks, but at the time I didn't know that. Trevor Bauer had thrown a ball from the mound at Kauffman and thrown it over the wall in center field when he got upset in the middle of a baseball game.
And I
tried to buy it from Royals Authentics. Because they had it. I've seen the ball. It existed. But they said they don't sell things that are embarrassing moments for other teams. So, but I wanted it. I wanted it because it was weird. So, like, man, I'm trying to think. It had to be something like, I feel like it had to be something baseball related. Like, I'm trying to think about weirdest. Because, like, a milk jug. I don't know if I want anything, like, it can't be anything that's expired.
Yeah, nothing like realistic. Like, some people are texting and I'd want them to sign a certain card they have. No, we're talking, like, I would agree, but I'm talking about Drew's talking about more just the odd item.
Travis Kelce signature on a Taylor Swift album would be fun.
Somebody's got a good one from the 785, a Kermit the Frog doll. That's a good one.
He's not gonna sign that.
But he's saying if you could get it signed, you know? They're saying if
But I wouldn't want him signing an item that's like what people are like the joke about him.
I want Vinny to sign a Sasquatch costume for me.
Yeah, but
that's
like,
a good one.
That one makes more sense. The Kermit the Frog thing is used more of like an insulting thing towards him, I think, than.
Yeah, because the voice.
Like, so if you're him, I would never sign
it. Or maybe he signed.
That was the whole Raiders player at camp last year. That
Chris Jones to sign a photo of his 40-yard dash accident.
That would be good.
That would be amazing.
That's good.
Or Chris Jones to autograph the 40-yard dash photo.
That's funny. Woo! That's pretty funny.
Someone said Andy Reid to sign a Waffle House menu.
Also good.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
Or like a...
Down topic. Just any kind of restaurant place we know he likes.
Yeah. I mean, you could theoretically give Mahomes like a Raiders helmet and he could sign like, instead of Mahomes, he could sign it as your daddy or something like that.
From the 816, I'd love for Frank White to sign a resignation letter that I wrote out for him. Jeez. I told you, somebody's got a Joseph Asai. My friend Nathan's got a Joseph Asai signed photograph of the one he pushed Patrick Mahomes out of bounds on.
Sign that?
I have no idea, but it hangs up in his basement. Joseph Asai actually signed it, a photo of him pushing Patrick Mahomes out of bounds on the roughing the passer call.
Someone says they would have Jamar Chase sign my ass, then kiss it. Drew? Drew might actually have that anyway. I don't know.
I do not.
Someone said I tried to get Steve DeBerg to sign my report card. That would have been incredible, too. Just a weird thing to have, you know?
Someone says Mahomes signed Mitch Trubisky's Bears jersey.
Ooh.
Oh, man. That's a good dig.
That is.
And then Trent McDuffie also sign a something Bills memorabilia related, because that was also a trade.
I think the Chris Jones one, after talking it through, that's good.
The Bills, so hang on. The Bills, it was Mahomes. Then they did the McDuffie thing, and then didn't they do the Xavier Worthy thing too? They've been responsible for three players that the Chiefs have
gotten. Yeah, that's why at draft time, it's like, thanks Buffalo. It's been absolutely. It's been multiple players.
Why don't people more fun of that organization than the Bengals do? Like Matt Verderam said, Mike Brown's just poor. Just give the guy a break. He has no money compared to anybody else in the league.
Sell another portion of your team.
Couple things. There's a couple reasons why.
New players.
The Bills, though, have just been better overall. Not that they didn't go to Super Bowl, but they've been better overall over the last 5 years than Cincinnati has. They just have. I understand you'll say the Super Bowl appearance. I get it. Then also, their fans, their mayor, their players have never gone the Burrowhead route with Buffalo-related stuff. Mm-mm. They haven't trash-talked Kansas City to that extent.
That's why they haven't won anything.
Fine, but like you're asking why do... like I think people in Kansas City respect Buffalo. They don't respect Cincinnati. Like, yes, yeah. Buffalo has been winless against Mahomes in the postseason, and maybe, yes, if they start beating Kansas City, we'd feel differently. But people can relate to Buffalo as well. It's a blue-collar town. And to this point in time, not only have they not won, but their fan base is hasn't, and their own player, Josh Allen, when Stephon Diggs was there, he was not out here talking crap to Chiefs fans in Kansas City because like it makes no sense to do that. It usually only backfires. See the Burrowhead thing backfired.
In fairness to Stephon Diggs, it got him with I don't think. You know, he ended up getting with Cardi B for a little bit, so it's all right for Stephon Diggs. He still doesn't want anything. I don't know.
That didn't work out for him.
Oh, correct. No, it did not. And now he's in, where, in New England?
He is in New England.
That's where wide receivers have been going to die for about, well, for about 10 years straight. That's where receivers have gone to die.
I think people respect Buffalo more because you're whipping their ass every postseason and not because they're.
I think there's just respect there. They have
Josh Allen. I think that's part
Josh
of it.
Allen. Not again. I actually like.
He's
we,
Mr.
We
nice
about
guy.
This.
He's too nice.
Joe Burrow's great as a player. We've gone through this. We don't have to rehash it. Joe Burrow is very arrogant. I think Josh Allen is a very, very likable person. He just is. It's hard not to like Josh Allen. I think he's a good dude, very likable. He's done some great things with charity work in his community. Their own fans donated to some Chiefs players charities, I think, at one point in time as well. Yeah. Who was it?
They donated to Andy Dalton's charity because they
they've done it for other
players. Got the Bills into the playoffs.
So that's why. But if the Bills start beating the Chiefs, yes, there will probably be different feelings. That is true.
Yeah, it might
still waiting on that to happen.
But the problem, very true. And honest to God, maybe that is what it is. You know, they don't get to talk as much. They've talked a little, like Dawkins did, or some others.
Yeah,
like,
he did. That's true.
But it's they don't get to talk as much because they lose to him all the time. In fairness, but Cincinnati, I mean,
not
this
classy.
Is kinda undersold.
They're kind of trashy, Drew. Sorry.
And
a lot of people in Cincinnati can't stand Cincinnati, the city.
They also talk a disproportionate amount of trash for a team that has not beaten the Chiefs in 2.5 years. They have not beaten Kansas City, as I think Gold pointed
2022.
Out, since you've been in town. You've been the producer of the show for a long time, and you have never witnessed a game after. I know,
it's years, man.
It's like, I mean, well, but
you know why? You know why they haven't played as much
because
recently?
They don't win their division.
Your team wasn't in the postseason last year to have a chance to play them.
And they weren't in the postseason the year before, and they're not winning their division, so they don't play the first place schedule. The reason why they're not playing each other is because they haven't been good enough. Like, not because one team's ducking the other. They won't schedule them like it's an SEC game. They just don't play each other. So it just feels like a disproportionate amount of trash talk. I'll be honest. I thought the Grim Reaper thing, I can't believe there's still fans holding on to that one.
Yeah, you can't. That's done.
Let that die the second they lost the next week to Cincinnati. And that wasn't even Cincinnati saying it was dead. I let that die the second they went down. That would have been one of the most badass nicknames of all time. Had they gone on to win that Super Bowl.
Well, because Andy coined it.
It was stuck forever.
Because Andy coined it, too.
He said,
when things get grim, like, sometimes you have to be the Grim Reaper.
When things get grimmer, be the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, like that.
Andy hasn't said something like that since it happened.
Dude, it was a bar. It was perfect. I mean, absolute.
That's a great, that's something that, when Andy Reid drops that, that's something you're like, it turns heads a little bit, you know?
But I don't know. Gold, I've never come anywhere close to embracing that.
Yeah, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, that's dead. I'm surprised we still have that in the system. It's over. It might need to be deleted.
That is still a badass line.
Of course it is. But
that was a 13-second game, too, which is still a fun game because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl the next year. Actually, they won the Super Bowl the next 2 years after that. Yeah. It's easier to just like not get hung up on the fact that they lost the following game. But like,
I will say this, and I think a lot of people's opinion can change about Josh Allen a little bit if they do beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. But if I was Josh, I think Bills people are waiting. If they, let's say they beat the Chiefs this year in the playoffs, I think they will dunk. Anthony Edwards dunk on the entire Chiefs fan base because they'll finally have done it.
Sure.
And it'll be nasty.
Sure.
And we've always said,
it'll when be you, nasty, I think.
But they better be. Go. They have to win the Super Bowl, though, for that to also be that to also that extent. Is true. Right? If they beat KC in the AFC title game and then they lose in the Super Bowl, it's different than the Chiefs lost to the Eagles. They already have rings in their back pocket. It's a little bit different. The Bills don't have that.
And yeah. Drew, you weren't here. But like to be very clear, Alex and I know for a fact, we came on the air after the Burrowhead game in which they said that in a regular season. And Alex and I came on this show and both said, they get to say what they want. They just won. They get to say the words they want to say now. They earned the right. The problem is they kept talking. They haven't won a game since then and kept talking. They lost to him in that they just kept saying things. That was the point we were making.
I'm so convinced it was the mayor that caused them to lose that game.
Oh, man.
The mayor wasn't smart.
No.
Shut your
mouth.
Travis Kelce
responded.
He said it properly. From the podium.
Know your role and shut your mouth.
Nance holding the microphone in front of him, and he just.
Hey, that might be one of the most memorable moments I have of Travis Kelce. Believe it or not, I think
what your moment is tomorrow? Tomorrow I think is Travis Kelce day on the morning show.
You'll have to stay tuned. But in terms of like moments, like
no teases over here.
Yeah,
right. Not giving away the goods.
That's good. But tomorrow is Travis Kelce day over on our morning show. Tomorrow is August 7th, 8/7/87. See, Cody?
Hey. Taylor Swift likes a number combination. I told you earlier, Travis Kelce was speaking on day 13 in year 13 today of camp.
Oh.
Taylor Swift's lucky number is 13. Mm-hmm. Her birthday is December 13th.
Everything
she does a lot of
something now.
So she does a lot of numerology she puts Easter eggs in every single part of her life. I think it is 100% intentional that Travis Kelce made himself available to the media on day 13 in year 13.
So
I think he did that on purpose.
You think the PR staff coordinated that with him?
Pete Sweeney had pointed that out. Yes. I think Travis, I know for a fact, Travis chooses the day he's available for this media stuff. This isn't hey, Travis, we'll let you know when your day's up. He, at this point, has earned the right to say, I'll tell you when I'm up. I'll choose the day at camp I'm ready. I do not think it's an accident that it was day 13.
Well, that's interesting. Again, the Swifties will love it. They'll love that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they'll be all over it. Whatever, I'm not in any of the regular.
You're not in the message
Swifty
boards,
chats.
Cody, looking up.
Is that what it is? What do they get on?
Twitter,
college
probably.
Football fans
Instagram,
get on message
TikTok.
Boards. What do...
like the Reddit forums, probably. I don't know.
Reddit? I'm is there sure like a Taylor Swift Reddit?
There has to be a Reddit forum for
like
Taylor
a website?
Swift. There has to be.
College message boards are a mess. Is the Taylor Swift message board just as bad?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's got to be vicious. As soon as there's like beef, like, can you imagine if
Taylor Swift
have beef with like Beyonce or Rihanna or something?
Well, then
there's
all that Blake Lively stuff.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's something, Cody, that you would see on the message boards, and it would be relentless.
I don't.
She's got so many followers that it's true. Like, you don't want to get them going after you.
It's over.
I don't want any smoke.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, our conversation with Chris Jones. He called in after practice today. We learned a little bit about his feelings towards the NFL with the schedule this year, as well as a ban that is happening for the league this year.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending. Well, it was a rainy day up in St. Joe. We had to leave practice early. They actually went indoors and then they said, hey, you guys got to go. So we drove back to KC. What we did learn from practice, what we saw today was Rashee Rice walking down the hill, not in pads. He did not practice today. Got some side work with the trainers. The Chiefs are calling it a groin injury for him. Other names that weren't there, usual group, unfortunately. That is Hollywood Brown. That is Drew Tranquil not practicing. Back issue for Tranquil. Ankle issue for Hollywood Brown. Other than that, Jalen Moore got some work at left guard today. We'll be back up there tomorrow live at camp.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals dropped game two of the series to the Red Sox, dropping two games below 500. Good start for Burgert in his first Royals debut. Goes 5 2/3, allows two earned runs when it all shakes out because Zerpa and Schreiber could not buy an out late in the game.
Yeah.
They'll wrap up that series against the Red Sox tonight. Michael Wacha will be on the mound. That Royals coverage will start at 5 o'clock right here in your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. As a reminder, by the way, not only home for Royals baseball, which will be on 6:10 a.m. coming up on Saturday. That's because the Chiefs will be only on 96.5 The Fan coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing Mitch and Danen and Kling on the call again. Plus, of course, Josh Briscoe chewing Chiefs pre- and post-game on the Chiefs Radio Network. You mentioned Boston. They also have exciting news for their franchise today. Roman Anthony, at one point in time, he maybe still is. I don't know if he's qualified to not be a prospect anymore. He was the number one prospect in baseball.
He was one of the hottest guys in the card market for a while, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Roman Anthony. I wish I had a few autos of his for Bowman. He signed an eight-year, $130 million deal with the Red Sox. So another example of a team saying, hey, we'll give this guy a bunch of money up front now and hope that it ends up being a very team-friendly deal in a couple of years if he turns out to be the player they think he is going to be. And for Anthony, he gets security. He gets money now in case he gets hurt, in case it just doesn't pan out, all of it.
Next up on What's Trending, ESPN and NFL officially have a deal for ESPN to acquire NFL media assets in a major deal. Still got to be approved, obviously, in that end, but it'll acquire NFL Network, the licensing rights to things like Red Zone. Obviously, a major deal for the NFL, which will change, I imagine, quite a bit of the NFL Network contenting. But we also know that this is why Rich Eisen and some of these other deals. Sounds like this year, the NFL Network coverage won't change a ton, but we'll see as that moves forward, as ESPN acquires NFL Network.
Don't forget, on Friday, we will be out at Hollywood Casino broadcasting live. The Drive will be there after us as well. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Amenihu football, plus a pair of Chiefs-Colts tickets. And right now, you want to make sure you follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Enter their giveaway. That'll be tomorrow. You'll be going to those social pages for a chance to win $100 in pin cash when we're broadcasting live on Friday, every hour from 10 a.m. to 6. So hope to see you guys out there. That is What's Trending on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, as we got back in studio, Chris Jones called into the show talking about the season ahead and also the fact that, hey, we usually give them some snow cones, right? But we were back in studio today, and they were practicing indoors.
Absolutely, man. That's a bummer. I hate the weather. Kind of ruined my plans of getting the snow cones and being able to chop it up with you guys.
What is when you guys move inside that quickly, does it just throw off the whole vibe of the practice, or you guys kind of like when you get to go inside?
Well, it's all about adjustments, man. And we're used to adjusting in different type of conditions and different type of weather. So for us, it's another day of adjusting and continue to grind. You know, we got a two-minute stretch and we went straight to team. So, you know, for us, we're kind of used to it. It was just another day for us.
Chris, you've had multiple training camps at this point in time. We've talked to you over the years about how camp goes, and obviously everybody reaches a certain point where it's, all right, let's just get to the games. Let's start hitting other guys that are not my teammates and everything. How do you get through camp, and what advice do you give maybe to some of these younger guys?
Well, for me, it's about the process of camp, day in and day out, being able to compete against my teammates, make them better, but also challenge myself while bringing others along. And I think for the young guys, that's more so the steps they should be taking, you know, watching how we practice, making sure they're exhausting themselves and getting better day in and day out. You know, we have a lot of really, really good players, a lot of really competitive players. So for young guys coming in, it's a way to compete and also show your skill talent on a broader level.
It was pointed out to us that they thought they saw you on the field, specifically working with Kingsley and Simmons, and being like, all right, I'm getting ready to show you something. This is what I'm actually going to do in order to do it. Do you spend time kind of individually, like working with some of the young offensive linemen, being like, this is what it could look like when people come after you?
Yeah, you know, I feel like we all can learn from each other. Kingsley and Simmons are two young bulls who I think are very athletic in their skill set. They have such a great build as offensive tackles. Kingsley, he can play inside and outside. And Simmons, he's super hungry, super athletic, and super raw in his talent. Just more so about those guys fisting their mechanics and believing, you know, their mechanics. So, you know, they ask a lot of questions about how I rush and what they can do to stop that. And I try to give them insight on what I'm thinking and what I'm seeing as I'm rushing them and what I would like for them to change up for somebody if they go against someone who is comparable to me.
We're talking to Chris Jones here on 96.5 The Fan. Before you called in, Chris, we were having the conversation, the news yesterday, the NFL sent out this memo that smelling salts or ammonia packets aren't going to be allowed. I know I saw George Kittle's comments on it today. I think even Baker Mayfield was talking about it. Is that something that impacts you at all? Is it something that you've used at all in your career? Do you believe it's something that players are not going to be happy to see banned?
Absolutely, man. I think right now the NFL is so focused on banning things. I think smelling salt has helped me throughout my career on multiple occasions. sometimes that, you know, I need to be woken up during the game. You know, the early morning games where you're still kind of yawning, you smell the smelling pack, the aroma gets you going. It's like putting bleach up to your nose. It wakes you up. And that's going to be a tough loss for us, you know, not having been able to have that on the sideline during the game. So.
What's the backup plan? Well, I mean, you know, is there another way to wake each other up? I suggested slapping each other in the face, but, you know, that's not necessary.
They're coming up with all these new bans and new rules, man. Before it's over, we're not going to be able to have anything on the field other than chewing gum and Gatorade.
Is that how, like, you've been in the league for a while. Is that the sentiment, though, like from teammates and from guys, obviously, that you're friends with maybe across the league?
Yeah, no one is excited about it. I think everyone kind of used that aroma to wake up before the start of the game, to smell it, get yourself going, get yourself hyped up. And, you know, it's just another thing that the league feel like is affecting the game. So hopefully we can talk about it amongst the NFLPA and can kind of make some type of rule or restrictions where we can use it before the game, but not during the game, you know. There's the only ways we could do or talk about it to see where we can still use the aroma, but certain times, you know.
Yeah, Chris, you brought up the NFLPA. I remember last year towards the end of the season, you had some comments about the way the schedule laid out for you guys. You had that early bye week and then obviously those stretch of games. And you said, hey, it's something I want to talk to them about. If we're going to get this late bye or early bye week, maybe we can adjust the schedule a little bit. I guess, did you have those conversations? And what do you make of the way the schedule lays out this year?
Well, we did have those conversations. Those conversations tend to be very productive and gave further insight on the scheduling. This year, I like our scheduling on how we have a league bye week. We do have 6 primetime games. I'm super grateful for that, where we can broadcast our talent. A lot of players get shown. I actually like the schedule. Now, how hard, how competitive our schedule is, you know. They could have gave us a few easier games, but I get it. You know, the first 4 games are brutal for us. We're going to Brazil, then we play Philadelphia week 2, and New York Giants is like, we have a juggernaut of a schedule, but I like the layout of it. It gives us time to rest. The games are not rushed. You know, we get to spend a little quality time building. We've got a lot of new faces on this team, so those few days in between games, they're very pivotal for us to continue to build chemistry and, you know, get things going.
Chris, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least bring this up. Matt Nagy was on New Heights with Travis and Jason Kelce, and they mentioned a play that they were working on last year for you called Swingin' D. Can you tell me more about what that play looked like?
It needs to be ran, man. We're talking about it too much for it not to be ran. I think it's about time to bring it out. It's an ultimate package where I can't really tell you much. Just know, if Pat was to go down, I'd be QB2.
Who named it? Can I know that?
Who named it?
Yeah.
Well, it was a collective group. of course, we had to talk to Big Daddy Andy, and then further down to Matt Nagy, and Pat gave the okay, and I was like, I like it.
I will say, though, I know you've heard the clip as well, and I'm sure the guy's giving you a hard time about the play. They made it sound like, you don't have to tell me what the play is, but they sure made it sound like the accuracy on the throw was just not there for you.
Okay. Listen, it's a windy day. The wind was more 85 miles per hour, okay? Pat, listen, usually I tend to stop doing my quarterback drills after OTAs. But, you know, that just gave me encouragement to continue to do what I do best, and that's throwing the ball to open receivers. And right now I'm focused on making sure that when they do call swing and D, that my accuracy would be where it needs to be.
Chris, we appreciate you calling in after practice. We'll see you out there tomorrow, and we'll have a snow cone from Kona Ice waiting for you if you want it.
Thank you so much. I'll definitely be over there.
There you go. That was Chris Jones earlier today, and we'll hopefully see him tomorrow, and we will have a snow cone waiting. Now that it's back, now that he's reminded, maybe he'll come in. It's going to be warm at practice tomorrow.
We're going to be like, good tomorrow? We're making it to the whole practice?
We'll get cloudy with a chance. I must say, the weather report.
He said chance of thunderstorms.
We can play it again real quick if you want. This was earlier today, if we have it ready. Cloudy with a chance gave us a weather report. We knew it was going to rain. I must say, not only were there shots fired towards me, did not mention that we might be getting kicked out of practice. So, Cloudy, I hope tomorrow is ready.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance, and partly cloudy today, thunderstorms possible, highs around 89. And if the storms hold off, hey, it's another chance to see Mahomes hit some wide open receivers. I mean, sometimes the separation on these guys makes them look like they're all alone out there, like gold on a Friday night. Or Saturday night.
Unbelievable.
Or pick any day. I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on 96.5.
Uncalled
Dang.
For. Uncalled for, man. He said a possibility of thunderstorms. Yeah, I'd say so.
Meteorology's tough, man.
Cloudy.
Well, like, you know, we get asked to be like, well, why'd you guys go up if it was going to go inside? I'm like, I'm not a meteorologist. Our actual meteorologist, Cloudy with a Chance, he didn't know.
Yeah. As far as Chris Jones goes, other than the smelling salt stuff where he clearly, there are a lot of players not happy. I'm glad we got to ask him about the play that is called, quote, swinging D.
That he obviously still wants to do. He called it an
ultimate package or exclusive package?
Ultimate package.
Ultimate package.
That's an ultimate package.
That's an interesting phrase.
He said it was a little windy. So he basically admitted that the throws weren't good, but he's blaming the wind.
He wants his chance. Look,
I don't blame him.
He'll normally, if given enough time, Andy will give you a chance. He's given Travis Kelce two different chances, and he has blown it every chance. So Travis is just taken to randomly throwing laterals now across the field in a throw that he apparently has down. Some of those are designed now, as you and I know, not the one he's throwing forward.
Sure.
I think it probably takes out some of the, like, YOLO part of the throwing, because, like, he's admitted the one he threw against the Giants, which is the one I always think of, where Spags was the defensive coach on the other side of it. He just, like, he said, Andy made it very clear to him when he threw that pass. It was never going downfield. There was one option. If you didn't have it, you throw it away. Do not ever. And then Travis is like, I could probably just chuck it down. That's the problem.
Yeah.
When you give Chris Jones the ball and you say, hey, man.
He knows it's one shot.
There's a way in which you do not throw this football, so don't throw it. They never do.
There's no chance they have a design play, especially if it's design play is called swinging D and Chris Jones is supposed to throw the football. There's no chance he's just throwing it away. There's just no way. They'll never run it again. He knows that's his one shot. So
what do other teams also know now? Like if he's in, then hey, they're doing this.
Well, they'll know something's up, but it doesn't. I mean, maybe it forces the opponent to call a timeout. You just don't know. Like teams aren't like they're not actively. They know something's up, but
they don't just double team Chris Jones just because of that.
Like the Chargers week one are not like, well, be ready just in case Chris Jones is in the backfield. Like
if he's there, then they know it's coming, though, is what I'm saying.
They know something's up.
That either they're running, like the teams have done before, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Jones here to, like, shove block through the middle so Pacheco can score. Or, yeah, maybe he's going to make a throw.
It messes up their communication because they're probably, at that point in time, trying to figure out what's going to happen. It might force their defensive coordinator to call a timeout even. So
I still can't believe. I was like, who named it? He's like, it was kind of a joint effort. To call it.
Oh, I bet it was a joint effort. Yeah. I bet it was.
I bet when they were starting to throw it around, they're like, hey, what are we going to call this thing? What do you guys think?
Swinging D.
Because he's swinging to the offensive side.
Yeah, that's from what it, the D. I'm sure
that's the play design. Yeah.
That's
why it's called that.
It's not called that for any other reason.
Of course not.
Like I previously mentioned, Drew had asked us in camp questions, what's the random piece of autographed thing you would want? Since Patrick Mahomes signed a thing of ketchup today. And you and I had said a photo of Chris Jones from his 40s.
That's the ultimate package.
Those things are amazing. 6-8 inch, so great. Oh, so great.
True.
There was nothing it couldn't handle. It was great.
You saved that in the system?
I didn't. Hang on a second. Let it be known. I did not just play that. I saved it to play for
goodness.
You off air. Or later today.
I believe. What was the context to get of that? That was talking about
subs, I think. Or I don't. I
was,
actually,
it was just
I
yesterday.
No
what was it? What
I don't remember.
I don't remember you saying.
Oh, the chainsaw. The chainsaw.
Oh, that's what it is.
It was the 6-8 inch chainsaw to trim down the trees.
That's what it was.
And then we had
that's
Cody.
What it was. Find a partner that likes your freak.
Thanks, Cody.
Nate was getting after
it yesterday. I actually stand by that as relationship.
That wasn't even the craziest thing that was said.
Oh, yeah.
I really like the way he worked on, you know, my lower body.
Our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor.
Out of context.
There are other ways that we can get somebody to touch you.
Oh. Nate Taylor.
It's been one of those weeks, man.
It's been a fun week.
I don't know, man.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
It's been one of those.
What the hell's going to happen these final 2 days? I do feel like a weird enough thing's going to happen. Like, in the middle of the show, I'm going to go put, like, 20 on a number in, and we're gonna spin the wheel, the roulette.
Yeah, we're at Hollywood Casino Friday, and you guys should join us there. 2 weeks from today, we're out at Circa in Vegas, so we've got some fun stuff on the horizon.
Are you guys hanging out after? Because I'm going to be here. Obviously, that's up in my neck of the woods.
Oh, that is your neck.
You guys
Friday. I hadn't decided.
I don't know if you guys are hanging out, but I'm going to come up and say what's up.
I'll be honest. Friday.
You're heading out.
At 2 o'clock.
You checking out?
Yeah.
But the drive will be there.
Three days at camp.
Yeah, the drive Hollywood will be there till 6. But on a Friday, by 2 o'clock, I'll probably be
your chance to meet the Jay Binkley.
Yeah.
How many opportunities have you been given in your life to meet Jay Binkley on Friday? You will have that opportunity at 2 o'clock at Hollywood Casino.
I mean, Bink and Rob hosting.
This will be broadcasting live. But you're right. Yeah, we head to Vegas in a week from today? No, 2 weeks from today.
So, yeah, 2 weeks.
Two weeks from today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You and I have now been to Vegas together like 3 or 4 times.
We have.
It's a lot. Vegas a lot.
That is true.
Twice last year and the Super Bowl. Will this ever be our fourth trip to Vegas?
Yeah, I've gone to Vegas with you more than anybody else.
Well, yeah. I would think so.
By far. Yeah.
Same?
Yeah.
If that makes you, I'd been to Vegas like one other time, and now I think the second time I've ever been to Vegas
overall,
was.
I don't know how many times 10, it is 15. Now.
Your sister lived there for a while too, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's over 10 times now for sure. I don't know exact number, but yeah, I always love that trip. Always love that trip. Looking forward to being out there for the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor
contest. What? How many numbers does it go up to, the roulette wheel?
36. Right?
Including zeros and double zeros.
So let's say if our Camp Darling is 36, the number 36 or lower, then that has to be the number that you guys roll in Vegas.
I play Burchard Smith's number. Burchard you got to promise 30, me, though, if it works. Hits. If it hits, then he's safe until the final.
I've never heard a single number. I was just saying whoever wins, like you guys, like at Vegas, you guys go. Because, I mean, are we waiting? Yeah.
So Tyquan Thorne, so 2, okay.
230 for Burchard Smith. Elijah Mitchell's what? 31?
I mean, on Friday.
Jalen Royals is 11, that's cool. Uh-huh.
Friday at Hollywood, if you're one, the day before the preseason game, if you want to, whoever the leading candidate is for Camp Darling, you want to play.
I think that's
play it on the guys we still have left.
On all of them.
I still have Burchard Smith, you have Jalen Royals, he has Tyquan Thorne.
There you go.
2, 11, and 30. Let's see who the real Camp Darling is.
Thanks to Drew and Mac for covering for us as we drove back from stormy St. Joe in the middle of the show today. We're back
a normal show tomorrow.
Insane show tomorrow. I think, knock on wood, we should be good. Hope to see you guys up there. Don't forget on the drive, Carrington and Rob coming up. And then tomorrow it will be Travis Kelce Day. I believe they will have Andy Reid on the show tomorrow as well. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on 96.5 The Fan.